Last week we started to discuss the malacha of Bishul B'Shabbos, which is one of the more important malachas that we have to discuss. Again, every malacha is important, but Bishul is something that comes up 1/7 of our life. It's an area which we should spend time doing, and an area that we shouldn't have to always not have any idea and go ask someone. We should know at least the basics. And if we have to look back at our notes, if we have to look up in the Mishnah Berurah, if you have to look it up in Rav Riviat, wherever it is, it's something, or the new Shmirah Shabbos, new and expanded edition, you know, we know at least the basics and where we are supposed to look. So we said that we're going to have three topics in Bishul D'Oraisa and three topics in Bishul D'Rabbanan. So last week we started the first topic of Bishul D'Oraisa, which is rules and regulations. Rules and regulations for Bishul. We spoke about, number one, what is the shear? What is the minimum and what is the maximum? We spoke about solids. The minimum l'chayev for solids is machal ben drusoy, making something edible. We discussed machlokas Rashi Rambam, whether that's a third or a half cooked. That was the minimum. What about the maximum? So we also noted it was a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, whether once something is edible, going from edible to fully cooked, mavusha kol tarcho, is that in the world of Daraisa or not? The Rashba says no. The Rambam says, yes, there is still, up until mavusha kol tarcho, there is still bishul Daraisa that is shayach. After that, then even though it gets better, what's called mitztamik biyafalo, so then that is not in the world of Daraisa. That's just probably Durabana. So that is regarding solids. Then we spoke about liquids. What's the shift for liquids? You can't talk about edibility because even when it's cold, it's edible. I have a cold glass of water and a hot glass of water. So the halacha differentiates and says by liquids, it goes by temperature. It goes by temperature. Once a liquid reaches a certain temperature, that is called cooked. That is called cooked in halacha for Hilchos Shabbos, and that's what's called Yad Soledesbo. If my hand recoils, if it's too hot, so then, just like in Hilchos Kashrus, it only has a taste transfer if it's burning hot, so to an Hilchos Shabbos, only if it reaches Yasso Ledesbo, does it become Aser Daraisa, did I violate? How hot is Yasso Ledesbo? We quoted last week the Machlokas Achronim, how many degrees? We spoke in Fahrenheit, I guess I'm still American at heart, a little bit in terms of degrees, I can't figure out Celsius, I just know if it says 40 Celsius, they know it. That's boiling. Like in a lot, it's like 42. And when they say like 38, 39, I know that's pretty hot. But that's basically all the Celsius that I know. But in Fahrenheit terms, Rav Aaron Cutler, I shouldn't say Chas V'Shalom, we're all Israelis at heart, all Israelis at heart. Rav Aaron Cutler says 120 degrees Fahrenheit, Rav Moshe says 110, all different degrees. L'maisa, we quoted the Pesach Shuba, we don't fool around, we don't make anything even close to Yasso Ledesbo. It doesn't really matter L'maisa exactly how many degrees it is. That was all number one. What is the shear for solids? What is the shear for liquids? Number two that we're talking about is what we started to discuss last week. And that is the yesod of Kiruv Bishulo, bringing Bishul closer. We noted that not only is cooking something on Shabbos Aser Daraisa, but even hastening the cooking process is also Aser. Even if something is going to cook anyway, even if I don't do anything, something is already on the blech. It's going to cook anyway. And it's not fully cooked. And I move it to over the fire, now it's going to get cooked faster. That is an Aser Daraisa on Shabbos. Kiruv Bishulo is also Aser. Remember, as long as it is not fully cooked. Once something that's fully cooked, said according to everybody, there is no Bishul Daraisa Shayach. Even the Rambam said only from edible to fully cooked. But from fully cooked to better, so that's not Aser Daraisa. It might be Aser Darabanan, but we're not talking about Darabanans right now. Okay, so let's go through a couple of examples of Kiruv Bishulo. Kiruv Bishulo. So number one I skipped it last time, but now we'll go in order. In source 26, that's what we're up to. Source 26, on the bottom of page 3. Source 26, Rabbi Kiva Eger on Shulchan Aruch, it's tiny little letters. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, moving a pot closer to the fire. Could be Aser Daraisa. Even though it's going to get cooked anyway, but I want it to get cooked quicker. If I move something closer to the fire, so that is an Iser Daraisa on Shabbos. Number one. Like the same thing would be if I stoke the coals. If I make a fire bigger, so that's two malachas. That's cooking it quicker, and that's also making the fire bigger. Making the fire bigger is also mavis, a separate malacha. That's also, those are just flip sides of the same example. So number one is moving a pot close to the fire, making the fire bigger. Number two is what we mentioned from the Shmirah Shabbos in source 27, and that is, let's say I put up my urn right before Shabbos, so the water is not boiling yet in my urn right before Shabbos, and then my wife needs to take out some water to make whatever she's making. So I know it's only warm, but I don't need it hotter. I'm just using the warm water. It's okay. But she's going to take out the warm water. But, says the Shmirah Shabbos, what is that doing in effect? There's less water in the urn, and therefore, at least in an indirect way, that water is going to get cooked faster. Because there's less water in there. Reducing the volume. That's what it's called. Says the Shmirah Shabbos in source 27. Vida. Kidud mayim sha'omed al gabi ha'esh. On water urn that's on a fire. Afilu mechusev. Even if it's covered, you have to know that abbreviation. Yad soledes bo, and the water in it is not yad soledes bo. Aser lahotzi mi'enu mayim gam derech beres hadud. It's aser to take water out if it's not fully cooked yet. Kivan she'al yidei kein, because if you do this, hu goreim shehamayim hanosarim bedud yagil yidei yad soledes bo yoser maher. The water that's left over in the urn is going to get to boiling. Yasaledesbo, not being mechalic right now, quicker. It's just like bringing water close to the fire. Einer b'kiveger sin yudches, which we already mined. Right, that was in source 26. So therefore, Rishmir Shabbos says one should be careful. Yes, there are those that say maybe it's only a grama that I gave you from Dying Rice, the Minchas Yislach in source 28. Some say maybe it shouldn't be called a direct Makarav Yishulo, but it seems like it's a good idea to stay away from it, or at least just make sure the water's up an hour before it, at least an hour before Shabbos. What do I do? You're in the kitchen before Shabbos, you see the hot water is not filled up yet, so fill it up, take the opportunity. Kavod Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos. Yeah, question. Grama. Right, so some might hold that it's indirect, but that is what's discussed in Minchas Yishlach, and that's where Rubiyat discusses also, whether you have the concept of grama in Melechas Bishul. That's in source 29 and 30. Okay, next. Very important halacha. Another example of Kirit Bishulo. And this is what's called magus. Magus literally means stirring. Stirring. Says the Gemara in Maseches Beitza on Daf Lamed Aleph, source 31. Tanya. Echad hamevi asaor. Whether someone brings the fire, Bechan Media Sa'it Sim, or someone brings a match, and the other person brings wood. Bechan Shofes Sakaderos, and then another person brings the pot. Bechan Media Samayim, and somebody else brings the water to put in the pot. Bechan Nosim Sokhatavla, and somebody else puts spices in. The Echad Magus, and somebody else comes and stirs. Kulam Chayavim. They're all kind. They're all chayiv if you do this on Shabbos or on Yontif Shalol Asarach. We have another verse that says the last one is chayiv. The Gemara says it depends if they lit the fire first or last. But let's say the fire is there, so there's a fire, and somebody puts water on the fire. They're going to be chayiv. Somebody puts this on the fire. Somebody adds spices. All of these are elements of the Malacha of Bishul. So we're just going to take that word magus out and discuss it. If I stir a pot that is on the fire on Shabbos, and the food is not fully cooked yet, that is an Issadaraisa of Bishul. Stirring. What did I do? It's stirring. I go over to the Chalant Friday night. Let's say the Chalant is not fully cooked yet. Most of the time it is. But let's say the Chalant, I got back late Friday, I put up the Chalant, the stuff is not really fully cooked yet. I don't want the Chalant to stick on the bottom. So what do? I take a spoon, I give it a little stir. Oh, it's not going to burn. If it's not fully cooked yet, I just violated the Malacha Daraisa. Why? Because what does stirring do? Stirring brings stuff in the pot that's further from the fire and brings it closer to the fire. Everything gets moved around in the pot when I stir it. So if items in the pot are not fully cooked yet, then stirring is a malacha, could be a malacha daraisa on Shabbos. If it's fully cooked, then again, no malacha daraisa shayach. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But at least the first step, that's also an example of kirev bishulo, is going to get cooked anyway. I am hastening the process of the cooking. That's good enough to be a malacha d'oraisa. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Let me just say the Shulchan Aruch, and then I'll take your question. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Shin Yud Ches, as we know, Sif Yud Ches, if you look in Sif Yud Ches, which is the second to last Sif in the Simin, we were going to have Mishnah Berurah, but I don't know, we lost the pile. Rabbi Cohen told me he had them, but we don't know where it is. Said the Shulchan Aruch, I'll read it to you. Shin Yud Ches, Yud Ches. 3:18:18. If somebody takes a pot off of a fire, let's say a shalant pot, let's say a soup pot, whatever it is, even if I take it off of the fire and I stir it, if it's not fully cooked, you can't even spoon out from them. Because what happens when you spoon out? That itself is like stirring. You move stuff in the pot. It's when you put the spoon in. Shenimsa magus ve'ika mishum mevashel. There's magus, you're stirring, and there's bishul. Then mizbashel called sarchel mutter. If you take it off the fire and it's fully cooked, so then there is no problem and it is mutter. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Yud Ches Ches, an iser of stirring. And this is, again, I'll just read you one more line. Did I give you the Magen Mishnah? Yes. And the next 32, the Rambam quotes this halacha also. And then 33, and then I'll take the question. Remember the question, please don't forget. The Magen Mishnah says the Svara, and so it's 33. Bechi Hagasa. Let's read from where the arrow is on the left side. Ubavadai. Ledivrei HaKol. Kol She'ein Bibishulo Chiyuv Ein Chiyuv Hagasa. If you're not chayav for bishul, meaning if it's fully cooked already, you're not chayav for stirring it. What's the law? Mar shein chiyav ba'agasas mevusha chol sarcho. L'das Rabbeinu. V'lo ba'agasas mevusha macha ben drusai. L'das acherim. The Rashi we mentioned last week. Hagasa is, or magus, is a form of bishul. So if there's bishul that's shayav, so then magus is chayav. If bishul is not shayav, it's already fully cooked, then you're not going to be chayav d'oraisa for magus either. That is step number one. Magus, stirring something that is not fully cooked, is an issa d'oraisa. So again, it can come up. If your shalant is not fully cooked, and you're going to stir it on Friday night, doesn't matter, even if you take it off the fire before you stir it. It's still, if it's not fully cooked, it's an issa d'oraisa. Issa d'oraisa. Question? I answered it. Okay. Yeah. Taking it off, we're going to get to talk about more. But I'm just saying, even if you take it off, if it's not fully cooked, it's still issa d'oraisa. Because as we're going to learn in topic two of bishul d'oraisa, you don't need an actual fire to be chayav d'oraisa. Even if you cook in something that was heated by fire. If you take it off, well, that's in terms of a Durabanan issue about hafizah. If you take it off, even if you stir it, you have no mind to put it back, but now the barley that is not fully cooked is getting maybe heated more. It's getting next to stuff that's boiling hot. Now the chalant itself is something that can cook the rest of the chalant that's not fully cooked. So if something is not fully cooked, you can't touch that chalant.
What?
Yeah.
Where do you take it out of the pot, right onto your plate?
If you take it out to your plates, that's something that we're going to talk about called dover gush. Could a solid item be considered a heat source even after it's not in the pot anymore? So that's something we'll talk about hopefully in the future.
What about like soup?
Yeah.
It could be fully cooked, but it doesn't actually get hotter. It's hotter.
Okay, so we alluded to that last week. Is there bishul d'oraisa even after it's fully cooked to get to boiling? That was a topic of some achronim, but generally it's pretty hot. It's pretty once it's in that level, so then it's good enough. Okay, that is step one in Magus. Then came the Kolbo. The Kolbo is not such a famous Rishon. It's two volumes called Sefer Kolbo. Beis Yosef quotes him every third siman. The Kolbo came up with a Chumrah. That Chumrah became practice of Klal Yisrael. We don't for sure know exactly what the reason for this Chumrah is. We have guesses. But either way, all the posts can quote this Chumrah, and we are knowing this Chumrah. What is the Chumrah of the Kolbo? The Kolbo says, okay, we'll read it in a second in source 34. The Kolbo says that stirring a food that is on a fire is usur even if it's fully cooked. I'll say it again. Magus on a fire is usur even if the food is fully cooked. That's the Chumrah of the Kolbo. And therefore, Lamaisa, even if something is fully cooked, we try not to stir it while it's still on the fire. For example, shalom. Let's say the shalom is fully cooked, but I want shalom Friday night. Right, I want shalom Friday night. What's only Shabbos day? I want shalom Friday night. So what do I do? So we're going to learn about lining the inside of the crock pot and what mindset you have to have. That's all in the world of Bishul Derabbanan, which we're going to get to. But once we're talking about Magus, what do I do? Even if I want to take shalom out, the best thing to do is you take the shalom pot out. We're going to get to, you have to hold the handles, you have to have a mind to put it back. That's all Bishul Derabbanan. We're not passing yet from anything. Now we're just getting the Yesodos. So hopefully at the end we'll figure out exactly Lamaisa what to do. But the Chumer of the Kobo tells us that one should not stir a pot, even if it's fully cooked, while it's still on the heat source. That's quoted here in the Shisa Shabbos in Source 34. Shisa Shabbos is an Achron from the 1900s. So he quotes the Kobo. Parshat Aminav, Menashim Shinosos Mecham in Mayim. Right, people, women put boiling hot water into a shalom pot, and the shalom pot is getting dried out, and there's no problem with that. We'll talk about that. Says the Kolbo. Let's say, we're going to talk about this again, but I'll mention it now, because he brings it up. Let's say, my shalom is fully cooked, but I see it's getting dried out. So what do I do? What do I do Friday night? It's going to be burned by the morning. So what do I do? What can I do? Rabbi Cohen, what do you do? So, you could take the shalom pot out, put it under the urn, open the beres, open the faucet, boiling hot water is going to go straight into the shalom pot, and then stir it around, and then put it back onto the crock pot. That is going to be mutter. We're going to talk about it. It's exactly how to do it. Well, what are you doing? Crazy. Right, we're going to talk about why that's mutter. You have to line the inside of the crock pot. You have to have a mind to put it back. We're going to get to all the lamaisa. But, you know what the Kolbo says? Don't add the water directly in while the crock pot insert is still inside the crock pot. Why? Because what happens when you add water? That's a form of... If I put hot water in something, it moves the stuff around. It's a form of stirring. It doesn't matter if I'm doing it with a spoon, doing it with the water going in. So that's the chumer of the kabo. It's the same thing whether you're adding water or you're stirring it. The chumer of the kabo is magus al ha'esh. That's what it's known as. Magus al ha'esh. Stirring on the heat source, on the fire, that's aser. Even if it's fully cooked. The question is why? If it's fully cooked, it's fully cooked. What's the problem? So there are two suggestions, and I'll take the question. Two suggestions given. In Source 34, the Shvisas HaShabbos has two suggestions. Number one, he says on line 13, the Efshar Lomar. Well, one answer is maybe it's just a gzeira, because maybe things aren't really fully cooked inside. You'll think it's fully cooked, but it's really not. Maybe there's some barleys there that are still hard. Maybe there's some potatoes there that are still somewhat hard. Remember the Rambam says, even if they're edible, it's still daraisa until you get to fully cooked. So one easy answer is that it's a gzeira. So then it's not really a chumra, it's just a gzeira. You've got to be careful. What if you put the shalom up Friday morning? You know it's fully cooked. Come on. It's been there for 7 hours. Is there any other reason to aser? So there is a suggestion given in the Shvisas HaShabbos, and that is lamdus. Maybe by definition, stirring is part of the cooking process. Even if it's fully cooked, what do you do? Part of the even if something is done, what do? When our mothers serve us soup, what do they do before they serve? They always go around with a ladle. Why do they do that? So that's what you do. Kacha. That's what we do. You stir it. It's part of the process. Part of the cooking process. So maybe that's lumdus, maybe why the Kolbo says what he says. That's a suggestion that he says on where did he say it? He says that on line where I wrote line 13, on line 16, he gives a couple of examples here. Why maybe it's part of the process. Okay, whatever the reason is, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. And the Magen Avraham earlier, and the Chazon Ish, and the Moshe Feinstein. They all quote the Chumra. So that's what we do. Even if we don't understand exactly why, I'll read you the Mishnah Berurah just to give you one source. The Mishnah Berurah says where's the Mishnah Berurah? In Sif Katan Kuf Yud Zayin, the end of the Siman, if you want to write it down. Shin Yud Ches, this is all Shin Yud Ches, Kuf Yud Zayin. But Rosh Hashanah Yachmer Bagasa Mamish. Right? Was actual stirring, you have to be Machmir. Maybe not just taking something out with a spoon, but by actual stirring, the Mishnah Berurah says to be Machmir. Okay.
So, why would the mavis on the fire then?
Why
would the mavis on the fire then?
Right. Why would it matter if it's on the fire or not? It's a good question. That's what the Chumrah is. Right, if it's off, so you got to take food out.
If that's the lumpus of it, then you should.
Right, maybe it's part of the cooking process when it's on the fire. When it's on the fire, you're stirring it. Wait, but before you eat it, the example I gave was a bad example. Well, before you serve it, that's not cooking anymore. That's just what you do before you serve it. But every pot on the fire, when you have noodles, whatever it is, you always stir it. You don't want it to stick. It's part of the process. Yeah. I agree with you. Who cares? He's just trying to give a lumdus. We don't really understand the kobo. Again, he says maybe it's right. You can look at the svaras. They're not really such fundamental ideas. Yeah. Yes. If it's fully cooked and off the fire, then you can stir it. Yeah, just like the example I gave, we're going to get to. This is going to be mutter. If your crock pot is lined on the inside, and you have in mind to put it back, and you take it over to the hot water urn, but it's getting burnt, you're allowed to open up the urn, let the hot water, boiling water, go directly in, stir it around, and then put it back on the fire. Yeah. What's considered fully cooked? No, machal ben drusoy, remember, is less. Machal ben drusoy is edible. Fully cooked means fully cooked. It could be get better overnight. But if it's fully cooked, you know what fully cooked is. Everything's soft, and you can eat it. More than you can eat it. You'll enjoy eating it. They'll serve it at a restaurant. Yeah. Could you take out? So that's an extension. The Kalbo says you shouldn't put the water in stirring it. What about taking stuff out with a spoon? Let's get to some examples now, some Lamaisa discussions of the Kalbo. So related to this, what if it's a very heavy pot? What if it's a very heavy pot? What if it's the olden days, there's something called the one-piece crock pot. Now we have the crock pot. There's an insert, you take it out. When I was growing up, there was a one-piece crock pot. It's plugged in. That's it. And you have to turn over the whole thing. So what do you do? Well, it's on the fire. So Rav Moshe says, in Source 36, Moshe says, try to buy a new crock pot. Source 36, Rav Moshe says, this case is where it's very heavy. It comes up a lot in camp. Let's say if you're in a camp setting, or somebody's like, we have these humongous pots. So you want to just get, I remember in camp we had it, the waiters got shalom Friday night.
Right, okay, get shalom Friday night.
Right? So the waiter gets shalom Friday night. So you're not going to take out this humongous pot from the oven. So what is the easiest thing? Instead of thinking that you need three guys to schlep out the pot, so what do? You want to just stick a spoon in there, get it out, serve it, and wonderful. So is that an issue? You have to take out the whole thing with das, put it back, whatever it is. So, Rav Moshe, Source 36. Kishah ha-kadera kvedo, when you have a very heavy pot. The kosher la-sir mana'esh. It's hard to take it off the fire. Hayim mutter la-hotzi b'kap mevushik ha-sarcho. Could you take it out with a spoon? Right, this Shiloh. I'm not going to ask you what they did. Tshuva, even though I was probably wrong there, so I probably should have. Okay. Tshuva, im ha-kadera kvedo. If it's a heavy pot, if it's on the fire, aser afilu lahosi b'kaf. Problem. Line 8. Viga gandasa kolbo. Shrosa midaraisa. Afshalom muvan adavar. If Rav Moshe didn't understand it, we're in good company. Right? We don't exactly understand the chumra of the kolbo, but this is it. Right? We could say darabana. The kolbo was talking even in the daraisa world. Right, he says that zera. Maybe there's some stuff in there that is not nisbashel. He says even by a heavy pot, one should be bachmir. So again, so in bridge, take it up. What about the one-piece crock pot? I guess the only thing to do, put in your motion, if you say bachmir, you don't put any spoon in. You just hold the crock pot and turn. You just hold it and then let it pour out. So again, that's constantly, you're just taking everything out. Going, if you do that, you leave some in there, you're right, that's bad. You gotta just pour the whole thing out. That's what you have to do, only do it once in the morning. Bezer Moshe, others, Rav Chazonish says, Yishmachem Mohakel, if you don't have any other choice, Venero 37, to the Barotza Lahashir, Kadera, Shia, Akira, Shein, Agufa, Shem Yisakena, Loicha, Lahashir, says Rav Chazonish, what if you have a case where you won't be able to put the pot back afterwards? We'll get to these details. So then, Efshar Lahakel, one can leave. So that is the Chumrah of the Kalba. But again, this is only Al Ha'esh. If it's not Al Ha'esh, then it is not a problem. It's not Al-Aish. Let's say, we're going to get to this, how do you define Al-Aish? If it's on the blech, right? On the blech, but it's not on the fire. It's on the side of the fire. So again, that's not called on the fire. This is all a chumrah. So in general, there is room to be makel if there's any tzad to say that the chumrah shouldn't apply, as we'll see in a minute. Yeah?
You're still doing this in there alone.
Would that make it to the Kenny Dolchon? No. No, if the question was, if you're doing this in the Rabbanan, is you make it, you can't eat all Shalom. Especially here, where it's a Chumrah, it's not a regular this is the Rabbanan. Some is in the Rabbanan, maybe, if you did it with mazes, especially. But if you did it with Shogi, in most cases, I don't know if I quoted this last week, I might have quoted it last year, and that is, there's a Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim is quoting the first Bir Halacha in Chinyu Fest, I think, first, second Bir Halacha, where the Prima Gadim says, if there's any Shita out there that is authoritative and says Laheter, even if we don't hold of it, you can rely on it at the end. So this kalba was not in Shulchan Aruch, right? So again, especially if one violates this kalba, violates in quotes, one would be able to rely on it and eat the food. An extension of the kalba. What about as follows? Remember my brother years ago, it's got to be about 35 years ago, I remember I was once at his house, and he was telling me, how old was I? I'm the youngest, my brother's the oldest. I was 4 months old and my brother's Bar Mitzvah. So he was telling me, he introduced me to Chalent facials. What do you hear, a Chalent facial? You're not going to eat it Friday night. But what do you want to do? You want to... So what do? You take off the cover of the Chalent pot, you put your face over it, or kind of near it. No, you get the Chalent, even though you don't eat the Chalent. Right? You get it. You feel it. You feel the Chalent. So that was I didn't know any halacha then, but anyway that was the concept. It's called the Shalom facial. Oh, there could be worse facials, but the Shalom facial. So where is the Shalom facial on halacha? It's a Meiri, not really Shalom facial, but the Meiri discusses it. Says the Meiri. So what does the Meiri tell us? Let's talk about the lamdas for a second before we look at the Meiri. Let's say the Shalom's in the crock pot. I take off the cover to I want to check if it's burning. I take off the cover. I'm like, oh, no, it looks good. What am I going to do right now? I'm going to put the cover back on. Put the cover back on. What does putting a cover on a pot do? It keeps the heat in. Raises the temperature. Is putting a cover on a pot... Let's say if it's not fully cooked, for sure it's a problem to put the cover on. But what about according to the Chumrah of the Kalba? Is putting the pot cover on a form of magus... A form of stirring, bringing it closer, and therefore even if it's fully cooked, it's a problem, and therefore if I would want my chalent facial, or I would want just to check the chalent, if it's going to burn, I would have to take it off first, the fire, then uncover it, and then check, put the cover back on, and then put it back on the fire. Is that a rumor that we have to hold of? Let's just see, and then I'll take the question. Says the Meiri. The Meiri is talking about in Shabbos if it's not fully cooked. The Meiri says if it's not fully cooked, you can't put the cover on. That's Kirav Bishulo. Says the Meiri. Source 41. V'nachalei b'makom bishul, shal samanim shal bishul afiyah min echadu. V'kashim amayu lefosu levasho. Anytime you hasten the baking or cooking process, kigon, bolel umegis b'kedera. You stir the pot. Oh, mesum kisui shel kedera al hakedera. Or you put the cover on a pot, chayiv mishum avasha. So the Meiri already says, putting a pot cover on a pot is asur d'oraisa if the food is not fully cooked. So now the question is, what about the chumrah of the kalba? Is it? Do we say it's also the pot cover? Says the Shmir Shabbos, source 42, Tav shel shein mevushal kol tzarcho. A pot of food that's not fully cooked. Or a filo rak safek in mevushal kol tzarcho. Or it's a safek, gubik de rosh al gabi ha'esh, and it's on the fire. Asu lachasosa b'michsel b'tzalachar b'chol devar acher. If it's not fully cooked, or even safek, you can't put the cover on. So far, nothing new. That's pashit. That's obvious. It's not fully cooked yet. Putting the cover on is hastening. V'yafilu emeisur ha'sekad erev v'neish. Even if you took the pot off first, asur l'chasosa, you can't cover it if it's not fully cooked. Kivan she'im kisi ha'kadera, because with the covering, hu gori v'sha'atasho yosef l'sbashlo, it's going to get cooked more. Step one. Now in the footnotes. In the footnotes of the Shmir Shabbos. V'im ha'tasho mevushlo kol tzarcho. What if it's fully cooked? V'hu omid al gabi ha'esh mefuseh, and it's on a covered fire. Gam kein tov lahachmir. Below the chasas kedei raso. It's better to be machmir, he writes in the footnote here, to treat it like the chumra of the kolbo. Mikiva shakisi akdeira habi kamoha gasa, because covering the pot is like stirring to machmirina ba'oda al gabi ha'esh. That we're machmir while it's still on the fire. Ella, what do you do? Let's say the case I gave before, where you want to add hot water to your chalent. So what do? I take the chalent out of the insert while it's still covered. I'm not talking about lamaisia. You've got to have it in line, got to have it in mind to put it back, whatever. We'll get to that in the Rabbanans. I take it out. Only then do I remove the cover. I put it under the hot water. I stir it. I get the water in. I put the cover back on. And then I put it back onto the fire. That would be taking into account the chumra of the kolbo, assuming that it extends to covering. He writes in the footnotes to be machmir. If you look in the third volume of the Shmir Shabbos, which he probably put in back in the first volume now, I didn't look in the first volume yet, but in the Miluim, which used to be Chela Gimel, which they probably put in all the Hosafos to Chela Aleph now, Rishon Zalman is really not so sure that one has to be machmir like this. It's an extension of a chumra that we don't really understand. But either way, it's a good idea. If one did it, you can put the cover back on. Or maybe you want to take the pot off first and then put the cover back on. But it is a chumra that one should be aware of. Yeah?
How is the covering stirring?
The covering does the same thing as stirring. It's not stirring, but it is hastening the cooking process.
No, it's just keeping it heating. But
it's not. It's keep when you raise the temperature, so then that's the same thing.
Moving the food,
remember, moving food that's fully cooked, what's that doing? Same thing. Yeah.
The problem is that cover on. So you can take the cover off while it's still in the cover.
Right, you can take the cover off, but you can't put the cover back on while it's in there. Correct.
When you're allowed to take, the food off, let's say, if you hold it in your hand and you want to put it back, why can't you do the same thing with the cover?
Why can't you do the same thing with the cover when? When it's on, it's on the fire?
And, yeah.
No, but that's not an issue of, we're going to get to what we're referring to is always how to put food back on heat sources on Shabbos. That's Hachazara. That is the second topic of Bishul Derabanan. A couple weeks after Yom Tov, right? But now we're talking about, forget the issue of putting something back on. We're talking about a cover of a pot. We're talking about raising the temperature or keeping the temperature in, which is the chumra of the kolbo issue. Yeah?
The problem is that it's not cooked yet.
If there's no what?
If you only put the lid half.
I don't hear.
If you only put the lid half on.
If I only put the lid half on. Then I got to ask, does that make it cook faster? Probably. Probably makes it cook faster. If you put a cover half on. Right, let's say you put a pot. You don't want it to like blow up like the noodles, right? So you just put it like half on, but you're still putting it on because you want to keep the heat in. Yeah.
You say that by uncovering it for a few seconds, you're not really reducing the temperature.
Uncovering, if you do it very fast, maybe. Definitely there. If you want to be makel in a certain case, it'd be quick just to check. Yeah.
When you uncover it, it's not really speeding it up because it's losing temperature when you're
It's going back to neutral, but you're right. But once you took it off, it's not neutral anymore. You're right. Altogether, you can look at it like you didn't really do much. But once you take off the cover, now there's a new metzius. You don't look at everything together. Now you look at them separately, therefore it would still be a problem. Okay, so that is magus. So again, these are all examples of kirub bishulo. So we had moving something closer to the fire, reducing volume, and magus with now the chumra of the kolbo, which hopefully we'll come back to in at a later date also. Okay, a couple of other topics in these first topic of Bishul D'Oraisa, rules and regulations. As we said, next issue to discuss, Bishul applies to food and also non-food items. Food items and non-food items. I'm going to skip a couple. We had the Rambam all the way in the beginning. I didn't give it to you again. The Rambam on the first page, it applies to metal. Metal. Somebody smelts metal for some reason. That's an issue of Bishul D'Oraisa. The Shulchan Aruch was another example. Shulchan Aruch now in Source 47. Shulchan Aruch. Shin Aleph Mem Vav. Turn the page. V'gadim ashruyim b'mayim asur l'nag v'nsamach l'esh. Let's say it was raining on Shabbos, and I come into the house and my socks are soaking wet. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take the socks, I'm going to put them on top of the radiator. So by the time I leave, they'll be dry. Said the Shulchan Aruch, that's asur. You can let things dry in room temperature without a heat source, that's fine. But if you put it on top of the radiator, what's happening there? You're cooking the water in there and it's going to cause it to evaporate. Gloves! Your gloves are soaking. Just put them down. Put them in the bathtub. But you can't put it on a heat source. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. But God Meshurim B'mayim also the Nagvan Samach L'Esh. Right? If they're really soaking, the Rabban says you can't even move them. If you pick it up and you get a squeeze out, also the day sleep them. But that's another example of or a wet, sometimes we have a wet towel. Put the wet towel on top of the percolator, on top of the urn. Right? Why are you putting it there? To dry? That's the point. It's a problem, right? That's a non-food item. That comes up. That's what the Shmir Shabbos quoted as well. 49. Also, let los kvasim rituvim b'makam shirgim with losim liyapsham. Also, let nichol makam samach latanor o leha saka. Yeah. No, it's not a problem. The room is hotter. Why? It's just hotter. There's no air. You can leave it there. No, that's not a problem. Yeah. You have to have a heat source. The sun is okay, as we'll talk about. I'm sorry, I interrupted you three times already. But the sun is okay. We're going to learn about it. You're allowed to cook things in the sun on Shabbos.
Oh, really?
You can't cook things in items heated by the sun. But if it's mamish, let's say I'm going to put the gloves on my patio in the back, and the sun's going to be down, that's fine. Yes? The water in the socks. Okay, it's a food item. You're not going to really drink that water from your socks. But you're right. You're cooking the food item in the sock. If you want to say that. Yeah.
You put it like there's a ledge on top of the radiator and not touching the radiator?
If it's going to get heated, it's going to get hot, then you're definitely putting it there. If it's never going to reach Yasso Ledesbo, that's not a problem. But if it is, there's a problem, yeah.
Heated floors.
Wow. If you heat, where's the heat? But if you put it on a heated floor, again, is it going to get the Yasso Ledesbo? Like, if you go walk there, it's probably not going to be... Right, so it's probably never going to get the Yasso Ledesbo.
Well, your feet have calluses.
Right, yeah. What? No, liquid is just temperature. Okay, there is... What?
It's not a food item. How do you judge your sound?
If it's not a food item, by metals, softening or hardening, it depends on the... you have to look at each item. There is a discussion... There is a discussion, just to end off this section, in Lumdus. Again, I just gave you one or two sources related to it. In source 51, 52, Bishul is one of those malachas that take time. So what happens if I put something on a fire 2 minutes before Shabbos is over? Am I shayach to be over Bishul Daraisa? That is a Lumdus question discussed by the Achronim, the Rishash, the Minchas Chinuch. Is it comparable to a case of Zoreya? The malacha of Zoreya, planting a seed, the Gemara says it takes at least 3 days for a seed to take root. And you're not chayiv until that occurs. So I put a seed on the ground on Shabbos, I'm not going to be chayiv until Tuesday. So did you compare Bishul to that? Or not? What if I put a seed in the ground on Shabbos and I have perfect Havana, I am picking it up tomorrow morning. So it will never take root. Is that an Issa Daraisa? Is that the same thing as putting a pot on the fire and then taking it off before it cooks? That is an important discussion, but I gave you Gemara and Shabbos Daf Gimel, the Rishash Daf Ayin Gimel, the Minchas Chinuch, different discussions. There is, and well, this will finish, in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud Dalet, there is a Gzeira Drabanan to put something on a fire where it would get cooked even if I'm going to take it off before it gets cooked. Let's say I just want to put something on a fire for 5 minutes. Just to get the chill out. That's asur midrabanan, for obvious reasons. You're going to forget it there, you might leave it there. But that is an issur midrabanan to put something in a place where Bishul Daraisa is shayach, even if I think that I'm going to take it out. And the Shmir Shabbos even says, I don't know if I gave you this one, no? Shmir Shabbos even says, even if you put a Shabbos clock, so the fire is going to go off before it reaches Daraisa, still included in the issur midrabanan. You can't put it into a situation where Bishul Daraisa would be shayach, even if I have plans to take it off beforehand. Okay, this is all rules and regulations, part one. But Hashem, after Yom Tov, we start part two of Bishul Daraisa, which is sources of heat. Eish, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Iri Kli Rishon, Kli Shlishi, Dabar Gush, all of those items. And then part three is Bishul Achar Bishul. That's when the next Bishirim, though, will be in Yanim of Yanim of Yosef.